Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to our Christian Television Network audience.
I'm thinking the same thing.
What are we doing? I want to say hello to the world out there, and we are so excited. These are the days that we have God has set us up for and planned Amen. For. And let me tell you this. God has good things in store for you. And you may have been crying out, and you've been looking around going, what's going on? And the Lord does, I mean, that takes us to those kind of points where we finally say, you know what, God, no matter what, I just believe that you have good plans and so that you could turn this thing around. And today, joining me is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio.
Hello, though.
And John Ball.
Hello.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Hola. Good, bien.
Bien. What's yes. That's like Tagal, isn't it? Bien. Okay. Well,
thank you.
Are you bringing back that Southern
drawl? He just leaves us laying out. Then he just stares at us. I wonder where he learned that from. It works, don't it?
Hey,
he just stops talking and looks at you like, okay, move on. Move on.
Yeah, right. Works, right?
That's the one.
Hey.
Speaking of what your fingers are shaped like. We got our Ian list coming up.
Okay.
We're going to talk about four shows back to back and some pretty awesome prophetic things today. Pat's fingers. No, when I got, I had the BlackBerry or whatever way back when, and I love that feeling of a actual button that you pushed on. But I remember going from that to something like an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Or that it was just a flat surface. You no longer had that feel anymore.
Touchscreen.
Yeah, touchscreen. And I thought, well, I'll never get this because I'm used to feeling something when I go down. And, of course, with autocorrect, and they fixed it for you. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good. They know Snowden knows me better than I know myself. But then I realized this. I don't know if you realize this. If you don't have one of these touchscreen type devices, and it's like you find out that your finger's not shaped like you think it is because you're aiming down and you're going to touch that button and something over here gets touched. Like, what is my finger shaped like? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's weird.
As a matter of fact, when you're, maybe looking at Facebook or looking at some news or something like that, or you're logged in to Facebook, you didn't know it, but you're looking at news. And if you just barely touch the wrong thing, all of a sudden it's just like, no, I did not
take touch that.
That is not my pose. Absolutely not. I did not like that. And then they said you can actually unlike it. But isn't it weird how you're just shaped? And I got news for you, too. Don't sit on your phone.
Ooh.
Don't carry it in your back pocket because you can do...
Then that send you a text. It's like, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how your back pocket sent me a text, but that's amazing. That's a talent that I never heard about. Must have come from Jersey. I don't know. I have no idea.
Must have.
I want you to know, those in the Northeast, that we've been praying for you. Our hearts go out to you. I mean, that's major. Stay in, stay warm, just wait.
Mm.
Take it from those that have gone through 5 hurricanes in 1 year. Okay, we'll just wait this out.
Hmm.
And it's amazing. Life will go on. But if you go out and begin to try to move around in that cold snow and you think this is a great holiday, you can get sick.
And hurt somebody or get hurt yourself.
Right. Just focus on the electricity coming into your house and the gas coming in, producing heat, panning it out over a period of time. And getting through this particular season.
No doubt. This
is one thing John Paul Jackson talked about over and over again in the prophetic warning of the coming storm. If you have not yet seen that, go to VFNTV.com and there's a banner across the bottom that talks about the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these headlines. And one of those headlines was basically what just happened in the Northeast is going to happen. What happened in the Boston Marathon bombing 12 months ago this April 15th was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the Philippines is going to happen. What's happening with the stock market is going to happen. And it's just like all these headlines are coming to pass, and it's going to build and build and build. And the question is, what is it going to take for it to stop? Is it just going to happen? It's going to take for us to humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it will work. I mean, it's not over. It'll just feel like it's over.
Well, we do have a choice, We can humble ourselves.
Yes.
Or God can do it for us.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
And He has no problem doing that.
Yes, dear Lord, forgive me, God. I humble myself
Yes,
today.
Lord.
And oh, dear God, forgive John.
Yes.
John, Lord, I know this is probably much all happening to John, yeah. The man who walks on water, in Jesus' yeah. name. But, you know, here we are, and we want to lose some more prophetic words today. We came out of the One Thing Conference. It was the best yet. And I think it was the best yet because everything that's been said in the context of over the years that we've heard, and we financially partner with Mike. We love Mike. Mike walked out a lineage. Matter of fact, there's a birthing about the same time, around 1998, when God was calling us to do. And at that time, how they kept the music going, they'd actually lean something on the keyboard to hold a note down while they'd run and use the bathroom and come back again. Spies not the day of small beginnings.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, when you can assume people have the same plumb line, and we talked about it yesterday, but I believe the plumb line was laid, which is God, you know, the right perspective of God in a way that no more assumptions. We're not going to assume that everybody sees God for who he is, but now we know who he is.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear today, you know, Francis Chan, he spoke there, called by God, never heard about IHOP or any of the prayer movement, never met Mike Bickle. He even heard some stuff about Mike when he was going to go there. What was the word that he heard?
Creepy.
You know, and so that was his introduction. So he searched there on the web, he found, my goodness. But a word was delivered there. And we're also going to talk two words that he shared. And a lot of things that were shared from the speakers were great. But that I think he was a keynote for all of us that were around the world. I think it was 300,000 mm-hmm. that were listening on television, plus God TV, plus those that were there. I don't know, 29,000 or I don't know.
Plus, yeah.
And it's recorded, so it will just keep speaking.
Mm.
And we'll keep planning it. Anyway, yeah. But one was, he said, before I get started, can I pray? And so we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about a prophetic, every year, Pat Robinson with CBN goes away and to, dear God, I want one of these two, a Virginia.
No doubt.
Calls it a cabin.
I'm sure it's a cabin.
It's yeah. a ranch. And I don't mind, you know, hey. It won't have me, but I sure will like to go there, Lord. A place, because there's nothing like being with God, seeking the Lord, riding an Appaloosa. Anyway, so yeah. And so he heard from the Lord. So you're going to be able to see that on Christian Television Network. You're going to be able to see that prophetic word that was given by, and he shares it in a humble way. He's like, hey, we'll just see this thing out. But it was amazing every year, because this is what God speaks to all of his folks that listen. Or maybe there's some that hear and there's others that do. And quite often the people that have the gift of knowledge don't have the gift of wisdom. And it's mm-hmm. just, it takes all of us to come together. And just because somebody's telling you what's going to happen, don't mean they know how to walk through it. Mm-hmm. So you have to bring wisdom in the context of that. But either way, I remember sitting a couple years back and everything that God had told us. We were sitting in a leadership meeting. All of our leaders came from around the United States and we were having our gathering, you know, hearing what God was going to say. And it was like verbatim to the plane, to the waterfall, to the ship going over.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. And it's mm-hmm. like, what he's going to share, I believe, is the fulfillment of that that's going to be happening in 2014. So, again, in the very beginning of this conversation, that when God began to share, you know, partially open it to me was, I would say, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. It's going to be the best of times for those who love God, who are not in love with things and stuff, and want to see a harvest of people mm-hmm. come into the kingdom of God. And it's going to be the worst of times for those who have made things their God, have made your 401k and your job and money and your white picket fence, you know, the American dream. That's one thing they did talk about One Thing Conference was, you know, I don't know how you put it. Do you remember how you talked about, you know, renounce the American dream?
Oh, France?
No, it wasn't Francis. It was the last speaker.
Russell.
It was like, roar! Yeah. That guy.
Yeah, he's intense.
Yeah, declare war in your bed.
You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. It's like, okay. All right. And so that was about 80% of the people there. They're 20.
Right.
Which I really believe in my heart that they're projecting 25 years down the road. And that's why they're working so hard, because these are going to be the future leaders of the mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe they're doing. They're almost like homeschooling the future church.
Yeah.
And don't judge me before my time. Oh, and right. Nor that particular message, because God can use somebody in their 20s. He can use, we see in children used in a powerful way. Maybe not a lot of wisdom in it, but you can be used. And we also saw God actually using children. He's shown us that the power of God's going to move. And when we think about it, is this: when you start, we start being the family God's called us to be. I mean, anybody can set the table. Anybody can sing a song.
Yeah.
Anybody can pray. But when we're not family, we're some sort of institution. There is no checks and balances of family. There's no healthiness or knowing where folks are at. And you know, so-and-so is not supposed to be setting the table because they don't wash their hands. You know, I mean, you know these things in a family, right.
Right? That's right.
And the key is that when we operate as family, then a family can just do whatever we got to do. You know, it's amazing. You know, people that sing, for example, they've been singing since they were a young age because their family said, get up there and sing something. Sing something, because they had that gift. Didn't matter where they were. Here they go. They're going to ask me to sing again. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how things develop. Your gifts develop, and it happens in the context of family. And if not, doesn't happen that way, because family will also say, okay, thanks for the song. Go set the table and shut up. You know? Right. And you're not offended because they realize it wasn't, your gift wasn't who you were. It was just something the family recognizes you can do. But if it's an institution, then they just identify you by your gift.
That's right.
They hire you by your gift, and they pay you by your gift. Mm-hmm. And if you don't produce-y, you don't get paid.
No checky.
And you go E and put in your another job monster app for another place that will pay you for the gifty. I think. I'm just saying. Anyway, so also we're going to be sharing a prophetic word that was given by
Bob Jones.
Bob Jones, yes.
It's called the Lighthouse Vision. This vision he received was right along the time that Youngie Cho got the vision about the revival that's going to be starting on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola.
And this is prior to Father's Day in 1995, when the Browns revival outpouring. Yeah.
And so it's going to be very exciting. We're looking forward really to sharing this, because it really gives great insight into not only what God has done, but what God is getting ready to do on the face of this earth. And talking about excitement and getting ready.
Right.
This is going to be good stuff. And so we're looking forward to sharing that.
God is a redeemer. And just because, you know, we mess something up in one part of our life doesn't mean if we get things right, he'll redeem what he said. I mean, we're reading right now The Torch and the Sword, a vision given to Rick Joyner. And he talks about, if you don't understand redemption, you don't understand God.
Yeah.
And he was going back, redeeming old words, old movements, and in this with the presence of God and the word of God. And this is a word, basically, it looks like it's being redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy worked hard. I meant to
very hard,
very hard. Mm-hmm. But we're even going to talk about the lighthouse. Down to the lighthouse. It was that in the, we were just living prophecy.
Beautiful.
I was promise keeping. I'm a promise keeper.
Denmark
promise keeper. we're going to also begin that. Hopefully, start that conversation. Don't forget, we have four programs back to back, so you can hear us all on Christian Television Network. But the conversation that God's wanting, I believe. Reluctantly, I'm going to begin to have this conversation out of obedience to God, but I think it's supposed to, and I have so much empathy in my heart that God has shown me his heart about this, and I'm going to have it, you know, even if the people who don't want to have it hate me because of it, because I'd rather be loved by God and hated by man than loved by man and hated by God. I want it to be said of me when I stand before his throne that you are obedient to me. And the truth is, there's a people out there waiting for this conversation. It's just hard for me to get it. And I'm always going like, well, who's going to lead?
Right.
Who's going to have that conversation? And you're always like, where are they at? And then you start realizing, I guess maybe I'm supposed to have this conversation, right. You know? A lot of times you waste a lot of time by looking for those other folks. And thank God that Billy Graham didn't do that.
Right. Mm.
And also we're going to talk about, you know, Christians, we are not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to be a counterculture, so we're going to talk about that as well. We'll be right back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Religious freedom for all. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
If we get these laws passed through for prayer in school and the ability to wear crosses and whatsoever to school, what happens when we have the Satanists and we have the Wicca and have the same access now because we pushed it through and made it legal for that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the First Amendment's free speech, free exercise clause applies to all freedom of speech other than obscenity and pornography, and it applies to all religious expressions. So we call it the parade of horribles. You allow the Bible Club to meet, and then what about the Sons of Satan meeting? They already are meeting. They have the right to meet. All the gospel needs is access to the marketplace. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to give it superior access. The Holy Spirit will deal with the individual people that hear the message of the cross, that hear the message of the gospel. What we want to do is make sure that there's an even playing field.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Love Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're going to get right to it. We are going to get right to it when my information there. I do want to say this, and we are going to talk about these prophetic words. You got to catch them. I first want to talk about the vast ocean of God's love. Mm. You know, we need to understand, especially what's about to happen, and you're going to hear, and maybe that'll be during this time, maybe not, maybe the next program. Because God talks about, God speaks of, to Pat Robinson about love. Mm-hmm. And of course, God is love, and it's not something you just, you know, it's very important. If we don't have a revelation of love, we don't have a revelation of God. But that's the hardest thing. The enemy really fights that. And one of the prayers that we pray, and we've been praying now for 5 years.
5 years.
5 years on a 24-hour watch, just trying to grow and mature and continual fragrant revelation, 5:8, talking about the bowls this are before the throne of God are filled with the prayers of the saints. And we're just wanting to participate in growing in prayer, becoming people of prayer and fasting and, extravagant giving and, bold leadership and, these different things. And so, you know, in one of our prayers, we pray very specifically, you know, asking God about, and you need, I encourage you to begin to pray, but the prayer is, this is, you know, dear God, take the reins of my heart and direct it into the vast ocean of your love. and revealing your love to me may overflow in my life back to you and to back to others. Mm-hmm. That I can love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, being in the Navy, there's a big difference between swimming in a swimming pool. Swimming on the shore where you're standing, running in and out from the sandy shores mm-hmm. back to the water again. And there's a difference in being where you can stand up in the water still, but be out in a little deep. And being in the ocean, there's a huge difference. Mm. And what they used to do with the amphibious ships, like LPDs that would take Marines to the shores. And so they would carry, this had this big basic open garage thing in the hull of it. And this big back tailgate, like a truck tailgate, would be lowered down into the water. Well, they would sink the back of that boat to let all these other smaller boats out to go to the shore for the Marines. But what they would do for recreation sometimes, they would go, you're in the ocean, and they would go and they would sink the back of the boat, they would lower the tailgate down, and they put this big net out that kind of gave a swimming area, and they put two soldiers with rifles on shark watch, and then you go mm-hmm. swimming in the ocean.
Hmm.
Or they would go swimming in the ocean. And there's just nothing, because that's where people throw food off the back of the boat, and it's, that starts follow boats.
Oh, great.
Can we swim off the front of the boat? You know. Anyway, so, but there's something about being submerged in the ocean. If you never tried it, as a matter of fact, I was thinking about one time that maybe John and I could go out and just go into the deep water and swim back together. Because I'm telling you, if you want to get past fears in your life, you know, get to a place where you got to trust God.
No doubt.
That if you don't swim, you drown. And too many people are still arrogant, cocky, prideful, fearful because you're staying in the shallow area. You're staying in the shallow area. And believe me, since you're too fearful to go out in the deep, but you won't be that fearful if you're in the deep because you don't have to be told to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be told to obey. You just pray. Dear God, the Titanic has gone down. Wow. Help me, Lord. You know, the unsinkable ship is gone.
Wow.
And so when you're swimming, all of a sudden I start thinking about, you know, Steve Kalaszewski's, you know, Coke can, a pop can. He says, I'm like a pop can. I'm like a pop can. Now I see it. I'm like a can of pop. I'm like, what's a can of pop? What's a can of pop?
Is that
anything to do with, hockey? Is that like the hockey or
is that
something?
Popcorn? What are you talking about?
It's a puck. You feel like you're a puck? No, I'm a pop. And he was talking about Coke. Everything's a Coke. But it was a Coke. It felt like a Coke can floating around in the water. And it just puts things into perspective. Sometimes we make ourselves so much bigger than we are.
Mm.
Our opinion is so large, but yet our presence is so small. And when you get into the ocean, it's just like, I'm just going to focus on survival. This is like, who am I in such a great mass of water of which I cannot see what's underneath me? You know, but yet you just feel it's just this whole different feeling. I mean, it's just something I always, you know, really long to do. And as a kid, I remember once I had a boat that broke down, and we had to swim from the Gulf into the shore. It wasn't a big deal, but there was this big seaweed thing that had washed in this weed stuff. So we had to swim through, you know, just basically like hair getting all over you and whatever was up under it. Yeah. So I swam kind of fast, and it's not like diving, because diving, you know, you can just go down, go under the water, and we've done that before, because you're contained. But when it's just you floating in this water, wondering if Bill's going to hang around because he's about to get seasick. Remember that?
Yeah. I'm going to lose it.
He's going to lose it when I'm being shot out to Mexico itself. And he's fighting the current, sucked his whole bottle down. Yeah. He had no air left.
Terrible.
And so... But there's just something so powerful about that. And so imagine this. Imagine the ocean being God's love. And God, you're saying, God, take the reins of my heart, which means the authority of your heart, which means take total control of my heart. And you can take the reins on a horse, and you could tell that horse to go anywhere you want to, and take the reins of my heart and take it into this deep ocean of your love. Just total submergence in your love. And just out there where I cannot see anything but your love. And in that magnitude of that, it's just automatically going to overflow out of our lives. And God's called us to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, love is obedient. All these different things. But it makes me think about Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 20, when Paul's talking about this, and he's talking about to the church of Ephesus, he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell, that he may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I just want to encourage you today, especially in 2014, you can choose to be fearful, or you can choose to be love. You can choose to be stressed out, or you can choose to be patient, because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. It keeps no records of wrong. It's long-suffering. It always perseveres. It just works out with God. It never fails. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? I want to encourage you today. Say, "Dear God, I want 2014 and the years to come to be where I give you the authority over my heart. Take my heart. Take the authority of my heart, the reins of my heart, just like a horse rider would take a horse's reins and direct it, not into the shallow, not into a swimming pool, not into a wading pool, not onto the beaches, not to where I keep my head above water by my own strength, but take me so far in your love that I cannot even see land. And from there, Lord, fill me so much with the revelation of your love for me that will overflow in love back to you and to others, that others may know this same awesome Lord Jesus Christ."
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses. We even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. So go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. We're a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience today. I am so excited to be here. We have some prophetic words that we're going to continue sharing with you from our previous program. If you caught it, if not, you can catch it at VFNTV.com. Joining me, of course, is the producer of VFN Radio Program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John.
Hello, hello.
Hola.
Mr. Tablecloth.
Hey.
That's not.
That's not very nice.
I would never
say
that.
But it's a pretty tablecloth.
That is not very nice.
It's pretty. It's all right. It just makes me want to put a place
like you.
setting.
Did you abide today? Did you?
Can't you tell?
We're going. Speaking of tablecloths, no, we're going to be continuing today. Talking more about the One Thing conference that just took place. If you have not yet, I guess for 5 years, how many years is it?
At least five.
5 years, you know, joining once a year at the One Thing conference. You can find out more at vfntv.com. Go to click on the torch and find out more about the conference, or go to onething.org, I believe. But Francis Chan laid down, I believe, a plumb line. And we're going to share some of that for all of us. Mm-hmm. And if everything streams from this. But the first thing he talked about, and we'll be talking about first today, is his doctrine that he just begins to talk about, which is this your doctrine? And this is our doctrine. And this is what we believe. And the question that he asks afterwards, after he delivers the perspective of this awesome God that we serve, he says, and you're going to be able to see it if you're watching on Christian Television Network, and if you're listening to us on the radio, don't forget you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, and you can watch this presentation. Just the power of those. You got to see, you know, Francis deliver this reality, because you're looking at a desperate man who knows who he's talking about, trying not to mess it up, trying to be real nice without compromising the awesomeness of God, and he just tells it like it is. And he ends with the question, after he says, this is who I believe God is, and this is who I know him to be, and this is me in his presence, and this is how things really are, and this is how I see people. And then he finally says, you know, am I your brother? And that's the question. You call me your brother, but let me tell you who God is. And this is what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, who do they say that I am? And that's how you find out who's your brother. Not somebody says, you know, I'm a Christian, or I go to a church. You know, the question is, are you the church? Who's God to you? And lately, the first thing you got to ask the question is who's Jesus to you? That's the first thing I ask, you know, politicians that run for office. Now you're a Christian. Like, who's Jesus to you? Now you're a conservative.
Right.
Who's Jesus to you, man? And I did get a chance to ask the governor, Rick Scott, before he's running for office. And it was amazing. He said, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. I gave my life to him. My wife and I have been involved in helping, you know, build churches since then. And the first trip he took, I believe, international trip, was to Jerusalem, and he prayed at the Western Wall. And that's a wise economic trip too, because you can really get them to partner. Yeah. And so that was my experience that happened in the context of this. So you'll be hearing this. So important. You need to hear this. We want this to be a part of your 2000 year, whatever year you're in, that you are just saying, you know, I want to have the right perspective of God in everything. I want this to be the plumb line for everything that I do, every message that I hear. And I want to ask people, you know, who is God to you? In addition to that, we're going to talk about a prophetic word that was given in today's program. We have four programs back to back, so you can catch other one later on if you needed to, or catch them all at vfntv.com. But there's a word that came, and it came throughout 2013 to the church, it appears. But it's a word talking about, you know, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. And this was delivered to many people who are very, very active and have a great reputation. Not big enough for Francis to know about, but in the context of that, And I've seen, you know, like Dick Rubin went to where he went to be able people that were moving this huge faith movement, but God gave a word to him and says, you got faith in faith. But God wants you to have faith in him. And that big rebuke, but it shifted everything. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the messages begin to, it was faith in God and his love and all the things that he can do. And hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to share, if not this, in a future program today, on this prophetic word given by Bob Jones.
Yes.
You know, over the Gulf Coast and this conversation that we want to have. But we're going to go to break and come right back and begin this conversation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, there's nothing like having a light, knowing where you're going in the dark place. And we're told that darkness covers the earth, thick darkness covers the folks, covers the people. But Jesus, the light of the world, he came to give us light. That's what's so awesome. And it says, you know what? Not only did he come to give us light, but he came to be the light, but he came to give us that light, which is the life of men. And then he gave us the word which is the light. He is the word, and the word became flesh. As a matter of fact, if you have not yet, catch this moment at the VFN Dream Center. Listen how important it is. How important it is to be in the light.
If you just get enough light and word to get saved and find out where you are in Christ, but you spend no time walking out the word, it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be a lot of people who went that way, and they're going to encourage you on that wide way, and they're going to tell you you're totally fine. As a matter of fact, George Barna says in Barna Group, he does a statistical survey of the church, and he says 81% of regular church attenders who say they go to church, according to George Barna, don't even read the light. They don't even read the word. What does that automatically mean? They're in what? Darkness. And so you have a dark, spiritually speaking, people looking at a dark leadership, 530 people in Washington, D.C., and they're thinking that my darkness is going to change their darkness. It's like, that's foolishness. That's a riot. Yes, it's gross darkness. And not only does he say that 81% of the people who call themselves Christians are not reading the Word, he says that 19% out of the 19% that are reading the Word, only 3% of them actually use it as light to get around. They actually read it and apply it to their life. In other words, they look at the map, they find out where they are, and they change their direction based on the map, on the Word of God. Which means what? 97% of the people who call themselves Christians, according to George Bonner, are where? In the darkness. That's why 97% are not giving to God in his tithes and offerings, because they're in darkness. They don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But what's so crazy is because they're not reading. They're going to Washington, D.C. and marching out there and complaining about them taxing them too much money on their taxes and doing this and doing that. And it's like, okay, you're saying that you're paying too much taxes while you're robbing from God. It's like, you need to get in the Word. It's not going to be good. Satan's going to eat your lunch. You're going there telling people how to be married and how not to be married. And look at yourself. If you read the Word, you find out your marriage is in shambles. Your children are just trying to survive your darkness. Come on. We wouldn't get in a fight. We're going to lose that fight. I'm just saying. 97% is in darkness. Well, you can say, well, that's just terrible. You say, oh, I just need to be the light then. Jesus came as one and became many. Then we can become one in Him, and we can what? Become many. People just don't, the enemy has underestimated you and the power of your wattage when you decide to live a godly life before God. You walk in the workplace and the place goes, and demons are like, oh, she's here, he's here. Because they know you're the light when you walk in. They're like, whoa, Susie's here. Then they go like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you. You're like, how in the world would you even be bothered with that? Because they see the light, they know.
It's so important. If you want to get a chance to join the dream, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can even join us physically, or you can join us virtually. It's vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join me is Pat and John. We're going to go right to Francis Chan. This is what we believe. This is what Francis believes, and I believe it's a plumb line for all of us. From this point on, dear God, this is the God that we serve. Listen up. Francis Chan, One Thing Conference.
So let me just share real quickly, because I think we're on the same page as brothers and sisters. But let me just share what I believe, and then you can decide afterwards whether or not you think I'm your brother. I believe in a holy God. You guys, seriously, everyone, right now, would you take a deep breath with me and let it out? I believe you were able to do that because he let you. And that's the only reason that there is a being in heaven that the Bible says is not just some man up there, but this God who dwells in unapproachable light. As 1 Timothy 6 says, he dwells in unapproachable light. So there's a being up there that if he were to tear the roof off of this place and let us see his face, we would all die. Because he says, no human being can see my face and live. Okay, so tonight is not about Mike or me or any band or anyone else. It's about this being up there where we go, man, all life comes from you. You dwell in unapproachable light. You have high angels covering themselves up, screaming how holy you are. This is not about you. This is not about me. I believe in this holy God. And I believe that that being in heaven created this world and created you and me. I do not believe that it's an accident that we, you and I right now, are sitting on a ball that is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and flying around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. And we're just sitting here like, yeah, no big deal. I don't think that's a coincidence that all that's going on and we feel nothing. But then you go to Disneyland, ride the teacups and throw up. You know, like I go, man, the design of this being, the way that you and I laugh and cry and feel like, wow, he's brilliant, he's amazing, he did all that. But it's not just this random, he created the world. I really believe that he created you specifically, that you are not an accident. In fact, according to Acts 17, you were born at this specific time and placed in this room for a specific reason. This was all his design. It is not a coincidence that I am speaking to you right now. I believe this is all God's design. I believe God is holy. God created us. And I believe that we have sinned against him. I believe we've done some things that are awful. I've done some things that are so offensive to God. Like Ephesians 2 says, I was just dead in my trespasses and sins. There was a time when I would just do whatever my body felt like doing. And because of that, the Bible says that we were by nature objects of wrath. By nature, objects of wrath. And I know a lot of people in the world don't believe that God can have a wrath. And I'm looking at scripture going, no, he has a, read this book sometime. And he says that we were by nature objects of wrath, that we deserve his punishment because everything that he's done, everything we've done. But God, because of his rich mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, that being looked at us in all of our sin and could have just sent us all to hell. He goes, I love them. God, that being who dwells in unapproachable light, looks at all of us and goes, I love my creation. I love these people. And even though they've sinned against me, even though they deserve my wrath, I love them. And I love them so much. I'm going to have my son, my one and only son, my one and only son, I'm going to have him take the form of a man. And he's going to be there in the garden. Even in the garden, you ever think about that, where Jesus is looking at the Father three times going, Daddy, Daddy, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Can you let this cup pass from me? The God looked at his son who's begging him, who's sweating drops of blood, going, can you let this cup pass? But not my will, but thine be done. The God, the Father, that being up there, watched his son nailed to a cross to pay for the sins that you and I have committed. That whoever believes in him, man, and I believe that that message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost is for today, where the people were cut to the heart and go, what do we need to do? Is this really true? What do we need to do? And Peter says, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll be filled. You'll receive that Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, for those who are far off, people 2,000 years later in Kansas City. That promise is going to hold true. And I believe those of us who turn from our lifestyle, turn from our sin, literally repent because we see Jesus and we say, you know what, I want to die to my old self. I want to die to myself and baptize. I want to be in Christ. He says he's going to put his spirit in us. And when his spirit is in us, I believe that huge, huge, huge things should take place. Ezekiel describes it like a bunch of dead, dry bones would suddenly come together and grow flesh and walk around. You know, it's that idea that we were dead and now we come to life. I believe there should be a huge, huge difference when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life. And that's why it doesn't make sense to me when people say, oh, I'm a Christian, and you go, you look just like everyone else in the world, if not worse. That doesn't make sense to me according to this book. Man, I believe what Paul says what he says to the Thessalonian church. He goes, man, I know that you guys are for real. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, he says, we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. It's this idea where Paul says, look, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, you should change. And he goes, that's why I know you're the real thing, because I look at your life and there's this change. It wasn't just like words came in, you gave some intellectual assent. The Spirit's in you. He changed you. You were dead, and now you were brought to life. And I believe that now that we have this Spirit, that Spirit would create a spirit of unity amongst us. And what his desire is, the church would look different than any other group on earth. That there would be so much love, so much amazing love through us. I believe that church can be just like it was in the book of Acts. I believe that Acts 4 is possible today, where it talks about how the people, in Acts chapter 4, the believers, It says in verse 32, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. I believe that can happen today. I believe that God can and wants to create a church where we look at each other like true family, where we go, look, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, who cares about this stuff on this earth? Who cares about these things? Here, take my car. What do you want? It doesn't matter. We're family. This is forever. This world's going to pass. And I believe the church can be like that again. And I see glimpses of it. I see glimpses every once in a while. Where I go, see, I knew it. I was just with my buddy last week. I was like, well, hey, what'd you do for your 20th wedding anniversary? I mean, you know what this guy did? There was a man in our church who, an older guy, who needed a ride to the hospital, you know, in the mornings because his wife died, to get dialysis. Like 5 in the morning to get his blood cleaned out because he had no kidneys. This guy didn't even know him. He would drive him to the hospital. First day, he's sitting with this guy who's a believer, and he finds out that he's the same blood type, and he just looks at him and says, I'll give you one of my kidneys. And everyone, even in the church, was like, well, you can't do that. You hardly know this guy. He's an older guy, and you've got a couple of kids, and you know, why would you do this? He's my brother in Christ. Wait, you can't just give him one of your kidneys. You know how dangerous that is? And he's just looking at the word and going, well, the word says if I have two coats. And I go, man, so you did that. And his wife was cool with it, and they did it on his 20th anniversary. It's like, wow, that some people go to Hawaii, you know. But the church of Jesus Christ says, no, this is my brother in need. There shouldn't be anyone in the church in need, and if there's something I can do about it. And I go, man, when the world sees that kind of love, Jesus, when there's that type of unity, then the world's going to believe that you sent me. Then the people are going to believe in Jesus. See, I believe that church can happen. I want to see that type of love happen where there's not a needy person amongst us. So I believe in a holy God. I believe we were created by that God for a purpose, and we're here for a reason. I believe you sinned against that God and are deserving of his wrath, but that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And his son rose again. And the truth is, and I believe that if you believe in him, if you've turned from your sins to follow Jesus, then you are filled with that same Holy Spirit, and that is no small thing. That is huge. That is massive. That is life-changing. That's life-changing. That's everything. And I believe that he wants a beautiful bride where we love each other like a family, where unbelievers would walk in and go, I don't even get you guys. I've never seen anything like this. And then I believe he's going to return one day. He's going to return one day for his bride. You guys, seriously, like he's going to take us to a place where there's no more death. There's going to be a new existence where it's not us praying to this God that we know is there, but he's actually going to be with us forever and ever and ever. Praise the name of Jesus. So that's my belief system. So am I your brother?
And that's the big question. Am I your brother? Because that's who God is. God lives in the center of all creation, surrounded by an emerald rainbow. Thunder and lightning fires off from his throne room. He's surrounded by these heavenly creatures that have wings that are cover their faces and cover their... He's just so awesome just to peek at him. They're like, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then the 24 elders, they just look at Glenn. Oh, they take their crowns down. They go, everything I've ever done for you, all the work, all the labor, every endless hour, all of those times, I just lay it down and bow down and worship him. Worthy is the King. And it's just this God that we serve. And I just want to encourage you in the beginning of this journey for this year to get a perspective of how awesome is. If you claim to be his, is this the God you claim to be a part of? His family? This is his son that he says that when you read about him, and I want you to commit to begin to read the revelation of Christ, the book of Revelation, and understand that is a revealing of who this Jesus is that you believe in. He is worthy. I mean, think about it. God's holding the title deed to earth. The scroll. And they looked around, they looked in the heavens, and they looked on the earth, and they looked in the sea, and they were trying to find, listen, this, nobody can redeem the earth. It's sealed up, and nobody, I can't find any man on the face of the earth. And yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you. They couldn't find you, so you're not all that. And so listen to this. And so this guy begins to weep, and John's going, oh my goodness, you know, the earth will never be redeemed. We'll never be able to go to the creator of the universe and get the scroll and unloose the seals because we're not worthy. And they turn to him and say, listen, wait a minute. No, 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 no. There is one. There is one who's worthy. Think about it. There is one. It's like, okay, who was that? Who's that? This is the Jesus that saved us, that's sinless, that paid the price for us to bring us into relationship with him. It was his shed blood. He is the Lamb of God. And all of a sudden they begin to say and declare everyone in the heavens. They go, he's worthy. He's worthy for what? He's worthy to redeem the earth, to take the title deed to earth, the scroll that's in the Father's hand. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is he. And this is the God that we serve. Get perspective of how awesome he is in this God. This God that we're barely even mentioning today on VFN Radio at VFN TV. Listen. Lives in you. The question is, where is your confidence? Where is your surety? Where is your certainty? Why are you so afraid if this God dwells inside of you? I want to encourage you that from this point on, no more cowardness, no more being lured away. Be loyal to the one who's worthy. And he reaches out and he takes from the Father, and the Father extends his hand and gives Jesus the title deed to earth. And Jesus begins a redemption plan that takes, that's what the book of Revelation is about, bringing the earth to the fullness of God's plan for it, till suddenly giving everybody that would have a chance with the minimum force necessary to bring everybody who would say yes to the Lamb into the kingdom of God. So finally he says, okay, that's it. And boom, the last trumpet sounds. Boom, his church is with him. Boom, the bowls of wrath are poured. The earth is judged. The new Jerusalem comes down. And we live with him forever and eternity. Listen, God is awesome. This is the God that we serve. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the question. Am I your brother? Is this your doctrine? And everything in your life, every message preached by any man or any woman, every Bible study you ever had, every book you ever read, everything should be measured by this plumb line. This is in whom we believe. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Creator of the universe. If you haven't met him yet, go to meetmyfather.org. If you want to spend time with him, go to iabide.org. We got a plan for you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.